of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Way of changing ministry, the word tonight.
You know, when I get done preaching on Sunday morning, I walk out of this building, my slate is clean.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to preach again? I don't have a thing.
Yeah.
And it actually creates a panic. You panic. You go, what am I going to say? I got nothing. But you wake up on that Monday morning, and there's a voice speaking to you.
Amen.
And you go, thank you. Amen?
Yes.
You thank him. And so, I'm so glad that we just learned to put our trust in him.
Amen.
You know, every service is different. And like a snowflake, every snowflake's different or whatever, but every service is different. But the Lord is the master of all of them. So we thank him for that. Tonight I want to talk to you about fortification or fortifying behind the word. Let's read Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew 4:4. This is just when Jesus is being confronted by the devil. Amen. She'll have it on the board there. If you want to. We always call it a board. It's really not a board, is it? It's a screen. It's a screen. So Satan is trying to tempt Jesus. And Jesus, it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by some words? By every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. How many words did it take to make the fall happen in the beginning? Isn't that interesting? So every word does count. Can I say that again? Every word does count. Because there's a spirit in the land, lots of spirits in the land that wants to tell you that some of them words don't count. That God don't mean what he said, that he's just playing around and he'll grade on the curve. And because most people are going to hell, he'll change the curve so they all can make it and you can make it too. And that, it doesn't work that way. God doesn't run a program like that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's Matthew 4:4. Let's go to Luke 4:4. You know, the Bible says out of mouth of two or three witnesses, right?
Yeah.
Let every word be established. Watch this. Luke 4:4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. So there it is again. Amen. So now let's go to Ephesians 4:4. I'm just playing, sister. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Ephesians, she's looking at that screen, you know, because I knew I didn't put that on that card. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is Apostle Paul speaking. I really like the book of Ephesians.
Amen.
We went through it here some time back. It's really good. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We should be familiar. We should have this memorized, really. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all, how many? All, the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want to show you here, praying and watching. They go together, watch and pray.
Amen. And so we want to bow our hearts to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, as we come to the Word tonight, Lord, we know that, as we've heard many times, the physical strength of a man can open the pages of the Bible, but only you can open the meaning, the layer on layer upon layer, infinite layers of the Word to your people, Lord. And God, we want to proclaim tonight that we know and believe that this is the living Word of God, and that it speaks to us, and Lord, that you're the master. You can take any scripture, Lord, and you can speak to us out of it for any situation. We believe that. We ask, God, that you would do that tonight, that each person that is here tonight, each of your children, Lord, they have things in their heart, have battles and decisions and things that they're dealing with. We ask, God, that you help them, each one, give each one of them victory tonight that they need. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to be seated. I'm going to read some quotes real quick to get right into the things we want to share tonight. Just about three quotes, if that's okay. Amen? I know it is. There's some churches don't allow it. Some churches don't allow you to read them. Amen? This sermon called God's Covenant with Abraham. Brother Branham says, now watch, Jesus could have used his power, talking about Satan coming to him, we just read, he could have used his power, but he didn't. He used the word. He said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he stood three times and defeated Satan all three times. And three is a confirmation and a witness. Confirmation of a witness. Amen. He defeated Satan on his own ground with the word of God. And the weakest Christian here tonight can defeat Satan anywhere, any place, anytime, under any condition with thus saith the Lord. That's right. You just believe it. God said so. How do you know? Because God said so. If somebody said, well, what if it? He says, by his stripes, I'm healed. A little bit later, the next year, and hear ye him, he says, and now I want you to remember this. And this is for the weakest Christian that's in the building or in the world. You don't have to have gifts, and you don't have to wait till some person comes who prays for the sick. And I'll go on record, because there's a tape recorder here taking this here. And I say this, that the right mental attitude to any divine promise of God will bring to the pass, if you can get the right mental attitude toward that divine promise. Mm-hmm. The right attitude toward it. And then the next year, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. He defeated Satan on the word of God. That shows that you can defeat Satan on the word of God. No matter... the word of God will defeat Satan any place, any time, under any condition. If it's in the belly of a whale, or if it's a lion's den, or if it's a bed with cancer, or if it's laying yonder beneath, bleeding to death on an automobile accident, the word of God will defeat Satan anywhere, and the weakest Christian can use it. It's your God-given privilege to do it. It's a God-given privilege for you to take that word and do it. Amen. I believe that. Amen. So may the Lord allow us to draw from those scriptures and from those quotes. So we want to talk tonight about fortifying ourselves in the Word. The scripture said that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? First, that you must believe that He is. How many believe that God exists? That He is. Amen. And you have to believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Right? Now, if you believe that God will reward those who diligently seek Him, I think you probably would be seeking Him if you want a reward from Him. Yeah. Right? But the whole thing speaking there is that there's an element of faith in there. And we know faith is like husband and wife, faith and revelation, because you have to have faith in something, and you don't have faith in people. I hear people say, well, you don't have faith in me. You're not supposed to have faith in people. You have faith in the Word of God. You have faith in what God has promised. So faith has to have an object that it believes in.
Yeah.
And the only object we can put our complete trust in and really have faith in, that like it's meant to be, is the Word of God, right? So faith has a revelation that goes with it. There are people in this world who have faith enough to be healed. But do people have faith for a body change? Now think about this. Because here we are in this hour, and it's time for a body change, and you got people that have this and that, and healings here and healings, and they take that and say, "Oh, this is 100% up to snuff with what God wants His people to be today because they have healings in their midst." That's not true. They have healings and things like that because they have faith. And what does it mean? It means they're having faith in a portion of God's word about healing and about the things that they have faith in it. Brother Brown said he's seen saints come across the platform and not get healed, but prostitutes could come across the platform and get healed.
That's right.
Because they had faith. Mm-hmm. Whenever the believer, Satan, had somehow knocked him out of it and they didn't get it when they come through. So faith has that object, and people have faith to be healed and things like that. Hey, they have faith to prosper.
Yeah.
Because it's a promise in the Word of God. Financially prosper. But they miss all this other stuff. And my point is that if we're going to have a rapture, that means that we have to be privy to the Word that tells us rapture.
Amen.
The revelation of the rapture. And Brother Brown tells us in the rapture message, to the bride, the rapture is a revelation.
Yeah.
So He reveals it to us, but yet we're still here, and we have faith in that Word that it'll come to pass. So our faith can be pressed out there, not just to apply it to the promise of being saved or being healed or whatever that might be, but our faith can sink into the Word of God about a body change. Mm-hmm. And we have been given that revelation. We're privileged to know that, whereas the rest of the world doesn't know it. So we are a select people that God has blessed by His own choice to do that. Like I said the other day, you couldn't just decide, well, I'm gonna be more revelated today. It doesn't work that way. God has to pour this into your heart. Mm-hmm. And if you believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, if you really want to know revelation, you'll seek God. You'll seek His face.
Yeah.
You know what? You will take the other things that you spend your time doing and you'll push them aside and you'll seek God. And if you don't feel like you want to tonight, or you know, I ain't got time for it now, the time will come you will wish you had time.
Amen.
So do it now. Just take at least a small step toward God, and you'll see God honor that.
Amen.
And He'll prove Himself to you just on that small portion. If all you can see is just one step worth of light, step in that in obedience and watch what He'll do.
Amen.
And when you step into that, you'll see He will be faithful to reveal more to you. And next thing you know, you'll be 20 miles down the road.
Right.
I remember giving my heart to the Lord, and I started reading this Bible, and I thought, there's no way I'll ever be able to comprehend and understand this Bible. There's too much of it. It's got too many chapters. How can I ever get there?
Yeah.
I wanted to get there, but it was overwhelming to me to see how can anybody ever know this is that's there? But here I am many years down the road. God's taking care of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I at least at that point, I walked in the obedience to read the Bible and seek His face. My wife can tell you, I was interested in finding out what this Word was saying. And so, in order to please God, you have to have faith. And you have to believe that He is. And if you believe that He is a rewarder, you'll be seeking Him. So without faith, you can't please God, but with faith, you cannot lose. With faith, I'll say that again, you cannot lose with faith.
Yeah.
Right? And so, because we read it, anywhere, any place, any time, any condition, even the weakest. Now you know what the word weakest means. That if there is a million Christians out there, that if you seek out the one that's got the least amount, that's the weakest. Because the next one up is not the weakest. Right? So wherever you want to put yourself on the hierarchy of faith or whatever in God's Word, if you place yourself at the bottom and say, well, I'm the one that's weakest, this is for you. That you, anywhere, any place, any time, under any condition, You can defeat Satan with thus saith the Lord. Why? Because thus saith the Lord can't fail.
Yeah.
That's why I could say the other day to Sister Hannah, you're going to be fine. I said the same thing to Sister Vicky this Sunday. You're going to get better when I can't. She gave me the mic, the recorder.
Yeah.
Why? You say, well, and I'm not saying it because it's me. It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
But because God said so. They say, really, Brother Tony? Did God tell? No, His Word said so. We're believers. We're entitled to it. We're entitled that if we are in the economy of God and we're seeking God and we want to be manifestations of His Spirit and His presence and we want to see Him working in our midst and we read our Bible, we pray, and we assemble together, that we have the promise that His Word and His presence is here to bring these things to pass. I don't have to read a scripture that said, Brother Tony, on such and such morning, you could tell Sister So-and-so everything's going to be fine. That's not what I didn't hear anything tell me that, but based upon the principles of faith in the Word of God and the love, faith which worketh by love, the love that we have for one another, I know that I can enter into that and say those things.
Yeah.
Right? And it works. I'm not telling you that I'll say that any and every time. It don't work that way.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to say hey, anything to do with me, but I've been somebody else's prayer of faith that did it. That's not what I'm trying to say. But God said so, and because He said so, then you can't fail unless you don't believe it. And that's why I said, without faith, you can't please God, but with faith, now keep listen to what I'm saying, with it, you can't be defeated.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, you can, but with it, you can't be defeated.
Yeah.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Brother Branham tells us, see, Jesus could have used His power. He could have spoken a lightning bolt come from out of a rock somewhere and absolutely split Satan in half if He wanted to. But you see, if He would have done that, that would have been the wrong power, and we would have been sitting down here trying to manufacture something we ain't even got to do the same thing Jesus did. We can't call for a lightning bolt to come out of a rock. You know, so Jesus, my point is that Jesus set the pattern that He wanted His people to follow to, and the pattern He gave us was the greatest thing He could.
Right.
Was that you could defeat Satan anytime. Yeah. And so that's what He gave us. So, the scriptures we read there said, put on the whole armor of God. Now, He's telling you to put on the whole armor of God because why? Because you're in a battle. You're in a war. And you've got an enemy. Because if you don't, you know, if everybody's on the same side, there's no war. But if you've got a war going on, it's because there's at least two sides opposing one another. So Paul is telling us, remember, he's the one of the first church age. He laid the foundation, and so everything built on top of that. So he's telling all the New Testament believers, you are in a battle.
Yeah.
And you need to put on the whole armor of God because you've got an enemy that's out to get you.
Right.
And because the battles, wars are fought over things that are at stake. There's something that's at stake, and there's something they're fighting over. And so you're at war, and Satan wants to destroy you. The enemy wants to destroy you, and he wants to take whatever it is that's at stake. And so that's why he says put on the whole armor of God. It's fighting for a cause, and the thing about it is a lot of time it's land,
yeah,
or resources with the land. And they got oil, we want to go take them because we want the oil. Sometimes it's for people so they can have slaves or just so they can have more land or something like that. There's always a reason. And so a lot of times it is for land because land gives you resources, gives you power and all that stuff. So that's usually what it's all about. And so your enemy's fighting for those things. And for us, we know that just like Israel has their land and that's their promised land. Well, our promised land is the promises of the Word of God in the Holy Ghost. The victories that we have, not when we get over there, but here now.
Right.
Victories to have right now. This is our promised land right now. Promise of God that we can defeat Satan on any hand, any time, any way.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, we can defeat him by the Word of God.
That's right.
And so Satan is fighting you to take away your land.
Yep.
He wants to tell you, you can't be healed. You can't be saved. There's no way God will save your family or anything like that. That's what he wants you because why? That's your land, your promised land. I can live victorious and prosperous in the Lord, and even in the things of this world serving God, I can live prosperous because God said so.
Yeah.
And Satan comes along and says, I'm taking that away from you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a hostile takeover of your land, put you out or make you a slave to where you cannot be healed, you cannot be saved, you can't have any of the blessings of God. That's what's at stake.
Yeah.
So Paul is telling you, hey, you got an enemy, he's coming. You better put on your armor. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what he's telling you. Put on the whole armor. So since we're in a fight, in a battle, and the enemy's coming, there is a training and a proper way to do battle. You don't just lay around and untrained and unpracticed and whatever. There's a way, a godly way. It's just like there is in the natural. You just don't take people and stick them out there. You usually train them. Train them how to be in battle, how to win. Mm-hmm. Because you just lose your assets if you stick them out there and they're not trained.
That's right.
But God has a way. He has a proper training. He has a proper way to do battle. And you don't ever send a man out there unarmed. You don't ever send a man out there without some protection. Mm-hmm. You'll send a man out there clothed with armor.
Yeah.
So Paul is telling us, hey, you're now in the Lord's armor and you got an enemy coming. And whether you like it or not, he's coming. You better put on some armor.
Yeah.
And so when Paul was telling us that, and he starts laying this out, you realize Paul's sitting there writing this under the inspiration of the Lord. And he's writing this and he says, put on the whole armor of God. And so he's like, you know, you need your loins. He's thinking in his mind, oh, the piece of stuff they put around the loin area, which is right down here, but between your hips and the lower part of your body. So right in this area, that's your loins. So he's looking at it and he says, well, they got this thing they put around their loins. They got something they put around their head. They got something they put around their feet.
Yeah.
And he knows all these pieces of armor. Mm-hmm. And he knows natural type spiritual. So he's thinking about this and he's saying, you know what? You need to have your loins girded. But when he's doing this, he has to reach into the Word of God and he's got to assign something to that loin, that piece that covers the loins. Right? He's got to assign something to that. And we see having your loins girded about with truth. So he assigned truth to be the thing that you would surround your loins with to protect your loins. That's what each of these armors are for, is to protect that part of the body. So a helmet's just to protect your head, right? A breastplate to protect your chest, right? Mm-hmm. And so these pieces of armor that you take out there is the right and the correct and the trained way to do battle with this enemy. And so you need to have this armor on. And so Paul is telling us, you know, you got to have this armor. And he starts assigning things out of the Word of God to these different armors. Because they make sense and they matter. Everybody follow me on what I'm saying there.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a proper way to do that, and we want to do like Paul said. So what are we doing? Now, we're talking about fortifying ourselves behind the Word. But what are we doing when we take a breastplate and we put it on? We're fortifying ourselves behind that breastplate.
Right.
Right? Fortification is creating a strong point. So we're taking each of these armors and we're putting them on, and we are fortifying ourselves behind these different things because these different things provide protection, and apparently they provide protection to certain areas. Right?
Sure.
So he's assigning these protection pieces to all these different places. He's telling us how that we can go out into battle fully equipped with these things that he's listing. So we want to take and we want to realize what these are talking about. So we're hiding behind these. We're fortifying ourselves behind the Word of God. Remember what I said, our inheritance, our promised land, is the promises of God. You can walk all through the promises of God, like he told Abraham, walk through this, see what's yours. We can walk through the Bible. That's another reason why you need to read the Bible, so you can know what the promises are, so that you can call on those promises. So you can have faith in those promises. So the Word of God is our inheritance, our promised land. So, you know, if an enemy come into our territory here, right here in Arkansas, came in here and wanted to attack us, we wouldn't take off running. We would dig down. We would hunker down we would fortify ourselves. And what would we do? We would take characteristics about our promised land, and we would use those. We'd find a great big rock that we could get behind, that we could hide behind and as the enemy's approaching. Or we'd maybe get behind a hill or behind a building or something like that. And or we might dig a trench and get out, dig into the trenches and get fortified in the trench. My point is it's the very promise that he's trying to take from us is the very thing that we dig down into to become our fortification.
Yeah.
Right? So resources that he's given us is what we use to clothe ourselves to get behind that we become more effective battlers against the enemy. So we might find mountains and walls and buildings or whatever. We might get on a mountain because it's hard to take a mountain because you got an advantage point or something like that. And so the point is you fortify yourself in the very promised land. You fortify yourself in the very word that Satan's trying to take away from you. Everybody follow that, see?
Yeah.
He wants to take those things from you. So Paul is assigning these things. So he says, have your loins girt about with truth. So, you know, St. John chapter 8, verse 32, I don't know, I told on the card she didn't have to put those in if she didn't want to, but St. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Mm-hmm. Right? Now remember, he didn't say the truth shall set you free, but the truth shall make you free.
Yeah.
There's a difference, right? Because you can be set free, and if you're set free, somebody come get you.
Right.
And put you back in bondage, you're not free again. But when you are made free, right, that can't happen to you. That cannot, when you are made free, that can't happen. You can say, well, in the natural, but what I'm trying to show you is that when God sets you free, no one can put you in bondage again.
Amen.
Never. And so Paul says here, having your loins girt about with truth. Why? Because truth will set you free. Truth will make you free.
Yeah.
So if you're out there in the battlefield and Satan wants to throw a javelin at you and hit you in your loin area, can he do that if your loin is covered? Will it be successful? No. So if you clothe yourself or your loins with truth, in other words, you know, how are you going to do that if you don't get into the Word to find out? Because thy Word, he says, thy Word is truth, right? The Word of God is truth. And you shall know that truth, and it shall make you free. There's no way that Satan can bind you on the battlefield if you have your loins girt about truth. That cannot be hindered, okay? So, you know, this is your vital portion of your body, right? And the loin area is is the area between you and your walk. That's the portion of your body that actually transfers your pure will and your desires. It has to pass through the loin area to get to your legs and your feet so you can do what you want to do. And the loin area is also the place where seed comes from, where reproduction comes from. So you have to know truth. If you want offspring, if you want the offspring of your life to be right, you've got to have your loins girt about with truth, right? So Paul knew what he was talking about when he said having your loins girt about with truth. He also said, loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now remember, your breastplate is your chest area. So your heart's behind there, right? Your lungs, your breathing is behind there. And so what Paul is telling us, and I'm not saying that I'm can give you all these things about these different features tonight. That's not what my purpose is. But I want to show you is that these assigned attributes of the Word of God applied to your life becomes your armor.
Yeah.
And protects you.
Right.
And so he said, having the breastplate of righteousness. Now, Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. How did you get your righteousness? Do you have any in yourself? You don't have any in yourself, right? But For he, God, hath made Christ, him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So now, did Jesus do his part? Did he become our sin?
Yeah.
And then is the rest of that scripture right? And the answer is yes. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? You are God's righteousness. There is a righteousness that is not by the law, but by faith, by grace. And you are that righteousness. You'll have that, period. It's given to you by Jesus Christ. And so he wants you to have the breastplate of righteousness to understand where your righteousness, in other words, understand your right standing. Righteousness means right standing with God. To know that you are in right standing with him. To know that God doesn't have a bone to pick with you. Yeah. If you're in Christ Jesus, it's not like he's just watching you trying to figure out a way that he can crush you. Yeah. That's the idea that Satan wants you to believe, that God is just absolutely, that his whole purpose all day long is to find a way to trip you up or find a way to see that you fail so he can condemn you. That's not what God is all about. God had to give us the law to tell us we were sinners, but that was not his perfect heart. His perfect heart was Jesus Christ paying the price for our sins. And so we must understand our right standing with God, that it's been purchased for us and it belongs to us and we have it. And even when we make mistakes, the blood covers a multitude of sins. It covers those things that we're in right standing with God. And that Paul was saying that is having the breastplate of righteousness. He said having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now Romans chapter 10 verse 15 says how beautiful, or how he says how shall they preach except they be sent as it is written. How beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So, you know, minister, you look at my feet, they're not very pretty. But the scripture assigned, here's a man coming with the gospel. And it's not just some message, but it's the gospel of peace.
Yeah.
And here he comes with the gospel of peace. And it could have said, oh, how beautiful are these people that walk up, or these men. But it says, how beautiful are the feet? What is it saying? They're coming. They're walking. They're going forth with the gospel of peace to spread it and to bring it, to tell it, to bring glad tidings to you, to bring a message of peace to you. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. It's not just a beautiful message, but it's a beautiful thing that God sends people with this message. So where they walk, the fact that they've got feet and they're carrying this message, this gospel of peace, is a beautiful thing. Right? And so Paul says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, what's it saying? Here's what it is, that the believer, the true believer, I've said it many different ways, but here's another way to say it. The true believer who has Christ in his heart, is clothed with the armor of God, what is his desire? That no matter where he goes, what he's going and doing, he's representing the gospel. That he's going and he's telling and he's sharing and he's letting it be known. Right? Now Satan wants to come along and he wants to condemn you about where you've been.
Right.
He wants to tell you you can't go where you're feeling led to go. He wants to condemn you of the very ground you stand on. But according to the gospel of the scriptures that we look at, that we are blessed. That if we are standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we came out of yesterday sharing the gospel with somebody, and where we stood today, we talked to somebody about the Lord, and where we're headed tomorrow is to represent Christ to somebody else, you've got beautiful feet. Right? Because your feet, tying these together, your feet, right? They are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is it? You know, because you could walk and go the wrong places. You could go the wrong places. You could come from the wrong place, stand in the wrong place, go to the wrong place, and you wouldn't have beautiful feet. But if you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have beautiful feet according to the scriptures.
Yeah.
not physically, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Spiritually speaking, you have beautiful feet because you're taking that gospel of peace. And so you have your feet shod with that preparation of that gospel. That's what they're protected by. As long as you're walking in the will of the Lord, your walk is protected. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As long as you're walking in the things of God, then your walk is protected. As long as you're walking in the things of God, Satan cannot condemn your walk.
That's right.
It's when you're not walking that he can condemn it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, you know the shield of faith, right? All these other pieces of armor, except for the sword and the shield, all the rest of the armor is, you know, it's fixed and in place, and you don't really have to do anything except wear it. But what about the shield of faith? That shield of faith has to be moved. It has to block because the enemies will come at you from all kinds of directions. And so God is giving you something you can cover yourself with in any direction.
Yeah.
No matter where he comes at you. You got a breastplate of righteousness, and if he tries to stab you in your heart with something, right? That's protected. You don't have to worry about that so much. But there's places where your armor kind of overlaps, or there's weak spots like that. But God has given us a shield of faith. And so the shield is not dedicated to any one thing. Faith is not dedicated to any one thing. Faith will defeat Satan in any direction, on any day, from any time, anything he wants to do. You can take that faith and the word of God, and you can defeat any strike that he comes at you with.
Right.
With that shield of faith. But here's the thing about it. It's something that you've got to do something with. You don't just put it on and wear it, and it just protects you when something comes from that direction and hits there. But that shield of faith is a special tool because you can move it, but you have to move it. In order to put it in action, you have to interact with your enemy and what he's doing and put that shield up where it's needed. Right?
Yeah.
And so when we talk about that in James 2:20, it says, faith without works is dead. So that shield standing out there by your side without putting it into action don't do nothing for you.
That's
right. Right? Shield of faith. It don't do a thing for you if you just let it hang to your side. But you got to put it up there to block whatever it is that Satan's coming at you with. And so, above all, taking the shield of faith. And he said above all. This is really important. Why? Because you can use it. Maybe if you forgot your breastplate, you can use that shield to cover that.
Yeah.
Right? So above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So that shield of faith is important. Faith in what, though? Faith in the Word of God. Faith that everything God said, he will do. Faith that because we believe, because we assemble together and we love one another and we believe God is in our midst, that we can speak and we can pray and we can believe. And God takes that and moves among us because of it. Because we do love each other. We do care for each other. We do believe.
Yeah.
He is in our midst. And so that's just a reciprocation of how he gets into that. He wants you to believe enough to put that shield of faith out there and put it into action. So when Satan comes along with sickness, put that shield out there to block it.
Yeah.
Right? And so he goes on to say, and take the helmet of salvation. And I didn't lay my notes out really good, so I have to look back and forth between three different pages here to get what I read from. But a helmet of salvation, Luke chapter 1, verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. The knowledge of salvation, that salvation come from the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought salvation. This is talking about John the Baptist, and John was going to be the forerunner to Christ. And so to bring a message to let people know, hey, there's a salvation out there, and you can have it.
Yeah.
Same thing as the gospel of peace. But you can have this, right? So he's bringing message of salvation, but there's a knowledge a knowledge, a helmet. The helmet protects your head, which is where your thinking goes off. So there is a knowledge of the salvation that people need to know about. They need to know about this gospel and this salvation. They need to know how they're saved. That it comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. That message has got to go out there, and that message, knowing that salvation and knowing where it comes from and how it works, becomes a protection for you. Your thoughts will not get jumbled up if you thoroughly understand where it comes from. Because there's a lot of people that want to do it this way and that way, and it works, and all this stuff they want to do, and they get all jumbled up because you get the wrong thinking, the wrong doctrine in their head. So their thoughts and their doctrine needs to be, their thinking needs to be protected by the helmet of salvation, so Satan doesn't hit them in their thinking with something that's wrong. Yeah. So he goes on to say, so to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And now, here's another one. When we said the shield of faith has to be moved around, but so does the sword, right? But all other pieces of armor, except this one and one other, all the other pieces of armor are defensive. Defending yourself from the strikes of the enemy. But what about the sword of the Spirit? Now think about this. No matter how you slice it, it's all talking about the Word and the Gospel and the message. It's all talking about the same thing, just different forms here. That out of the Word you protected, your whole walk is protected. But the sword of the Spirit is actually a part of your weaponry, or your armor, if you want to call it that, that you could strike out at the enemy with. Because if you didn't have the sword, all you could do is just defend yourself all day long. Just defend, defend, defend. And, you know, Satan may not ever be able to touch you, but God wants you victorious over this guy. He don't want you to spend eternity with this guy on your back.
Yeah.
Right? So he gives you a sword that at the right moment you can take that word, because the Word, the sword of the Spirit, is the Word, and you could put that word out there, and you can apply a blow of that sword into the heart of your enemy and destroy him. Because when that happens, then he ain't gonna bother you no more.
Yeah.
Right? He becomes a dead enemy. That's one thing that's wrong with people's walk. We fight against Satan, fight against this, fight against this, fight against it, over and over and over. For years after years, fighting the same thing. If you ever took the sword of the Spirit and gouged that heart, you'd never fight that devil ever again. Right? We've got to take that sword of the Spirit. And the Scriptures tell us, the sword of the Spirit in Hebrews chapter 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, soul and spirit and the joints of the heart, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the Word of God is quick, sharp, it's powerful. And it is a discerner.
Yeah.
It can get down, and you even look at it. If you look in the Bible, it's hard to tell the difference between soul and spirit, but the Word knows.
Yeah.
Right? The Word knows, and so the Word knows exactly how to go right through, and it is so precise. It knows, hey, here's the difference between the joints and the bones and the marrow, right? It's a discerner between those things, then it also knows how to get right between that enemy's armor. Yeah. Right? To get in there and destroy. And another thing about it is it's a double-edged sword. Cuts in both directions. So no matter which way you swing it, it's cutting. Right? You know, if you had a single-edged sword and you swung this way and missed, you're vulnerable, and you can't swing back and do nothing because you got to get back over here again and do another swing. But if you've got a double-edged sword, you cut both ways, right? So God has given you the Word of God that can absolutely, no matter how it works, when you're using it, it's slicing up devils.
Yeah.
It's absolute, but guess what? You can't leave it hanging to your side. It too is something you've got to hold it in your hand and you've got to put it into action, along with the shield of faith. And so Paul is lining these things out and letting us know this is what you have to have. You need to clothe yourself with the whole armor of God. And so it's the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, And that's six pieces of armor, and it looks like that's it, but it's not it, because the next one is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and washing thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for saints. And so that last piece that he's telling you is, you got to clothe yourself with the Word of God, with this armor. Take that shield of faith, put that sword of the Word in your hand, go out there and begin to fight the enemy. And while you're doing that, you're praying always. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's important. Get into the Spirit and watch. It's prayer, supplication, and watch thereunto. Remember what? When I said praying and watching go together? And watch thereunto with all perseverance, not slackness, right? Perseverance and supplication, not just for yourself, right? For all saints. We pray for each other. And so, if you go to Mark chapter 14, verse 38, this is what a scripture about prayer. And Jesus said, watch ye and pray. What's a good reason for praying? You're like, why should I pray? Why do I need to pray? Look right there. Watch ye and pray, lest what? Lest you enter into temptation.
Right.
The Spirit truly is ready. This one place I think it says the Spirit is willing. Capital Spirit. The Holy Spirit's willing. He's willing to fight this battle. He's willing to win over the enemy. The Spirit's not the problem. What's the problem? The flesh is weak. How can you get that flesh to be in tune with the Spirit that's willing? By praying.
That's right.
Watching what's going on. You don't just walk out there swinging and all, whatever. You're watching your enemy. You're watching the movement of your enemy and what he's doing. And you're anticipating what his move is going to be next. And you're going to be ready for him. So you're watching and you're praying. You're keeping your flesh under subjection to the battle, to the willingness to be on that battlefield. Because you know, the soldier, he don't want to get out of bed. He wants to lay there and be lazy just like we would, right? That soldier has got fear. He's got all those, he has to put all that under to walk out there and meet that enemy hand to hand. All that's got, that flesh has got to be obedient to the command of going out there and fighting that enemy. So how are you going to put all this whole armor of God into action? You might have it on and laying there in the bed. It don't do you no good.
That's right.
You can have all that armor on, have that shield, have that sword, and just laying there not doing anything. But something's got to get you on the battlefield. And your flesh don't want to be on the battlefield.
Right?
It wants to be back here, whatever. But pray. Watch and pray. And I can tell you, if you pray, your flesh will hush up and you'll get out there on that battlefield and you'll win the battle because you're clothed with the whole armor of God. So what have you done? In all this, you fortified yourself behind the Word, because the Word said you have salvation. The Word said you got a shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. The Word says you can defeat him, all the fiery darts of the wicked. Brother Brown didn't just state it himself. It's in the Scriptures. You can defeat all the fiery darts of the wicked. So any place, any time, anywhere, under any condition, you can defeat the enemy. But not laying back in the bed in the morning when the battle needs to be going on. See what I'm saying? You've got to get up, clothe yourself with the Word, get out there on the battlefield, pray before you do, so that'll give you the courage, and you'll get up out there and use that Word. You will destroy the enemy every time. I believe that.
Yes,
it's our lot, it's our portion. You know, if this United States government, if they enacted the draft again, some of these boys, some of these young men right here, they wouldn't have a choice, right? They'd be put out there to fight, whether they like it or not, right? But far be it for anybody to put them young men out there without clothing them and training them. God didn't call you to this battle to go into it untrained and unprepared. He ain't going to do you that way. But if he trains you and prepares you, and then you get out there and you don't use it, and you wind up a casualty, it's not his fault, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's given you what you need. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing we want to point out here tonight is that the Lord is providing these things for us, and we just have to go do it. You know, I'd like to say, well, we're not going to have to deal with this, we're not going to have to deal with that, but I can't tell you that, because we probably are going to deal with this, and we are going to deal with that, right? It's going to happen. It's not because, it's just going to happen. We found ourselves in this day, in this generation, dealing with what we're seeing coming. This is where we are. But God has not put us here unequipped. God has put us here because he knows what he has put in us, and he knows that he has given to us an experience that can do this right here we're talking about tonight, that can clothe ourselves with the Word of God and get out there on the battlefield and destroy the enemy. He knows that and what he put in us. We've said many times how when they do relay races, always give your fastest runner for last, because he's the guy They can catch you up if everybody's behind. That's a humbling thought, Brother Daniel, that out of seven church ages, God would put us here, the last.
Amen.
Because we read about the people in Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, and we read about them and think, man, that'd be awesome to be like that. But what you fail to realize, that when it comes to character and the Word and what's going on at that time, you're right up there ranking just as high as those are in God's economy.
That's right.
Right? And maybe even more so. I don't know if I'd say that, but you understand what I'm saying, because it's right here in the greatest time that all these things will come to pass. So we can do just like Brother Bram said Jesus did. He defeated Satan on Satan's ground. Because you remember, Lucifer, or through the serpent, he went into the garden on good ground and brought division. But here he is out here now on his ground. Christ Jesus comes and defeats him on his own ground. And just like we've said here well back, you know, that Lucifer, Satan, when it's all over and done with, and the history books are written, if there is history books, we know there will be, you know, as far as not necessarily a book, but a record of what happened, it's going to go down into the history books that Satan was defeated by a woman.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most humiliating things in the Bible, for a man to be killed by a woman. You know that? But say, it's going to go on record. That's what it's going to look like. And it's going to go, well, how did this guy finally come to his end? A woman? Huh? A woman destroyed him. That's right.
That's right.
The bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So, just which is Christ in bride form. We know that. So, we thank the Lord for that. You love him?
Amen.
I mean, he's going to put on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
Amen. It's a... I always say this over and over. Years ago, they had that... I like Snickers candy bar, and they had that commercial. They said, no matter how you slice it, it comes with peanuts. You know? They'd show it, chop, 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 and they'd have peanuts all through it. I don't think they're quite that way nowadays. It seems like they don't have peanuts all through them like they should. But no matter how you slice it, it comes up, the Word of God is where it's at, and Satan is defeated by the Word. So we certainly want, I'd like to see him come to his end today. So let's pray just for a moment. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of the service, Lord, we just love you and thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for what has been said tonight, Lord, that you gave us. Just pray, God, that you would just reveal all the layers of it to us and help us, Lord, just to become living examples of your people walking with the whole armor of God on. Pray, God, you'd bless each one as they get ready to leave tonight, Lord, that you let your Holy Spirit go with them, lead them and guide them and protect them in everything. We love the Lord and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 597. Let me figure out what key to do today. joy unspeakable. Amen.